the genetics of the dog's mind and creating problems or maintaining problems in dogs. Interesting thing has happened here. One is I'm reading a really fantastic book that I highly recommend. And this was recommended by Butch Capel. It's called The Dog's Mind, Understanding Your Dog's Behavior. It's by Bruce Fogle, F-O-G-L-E, a doctor of veterinary medicines. I'm reading that book, and at the same time, it came to my attention through the comment sections over on my YouTube channel that a dog that I had given away as a pet because it was not suitable for breeding, and I just wanted it to have a good home, was being bred by that person now. And so it's just interesting to put these things together. And I'm really disappointed that this has happened. And it's an example, though, of how dogs end up at the pound and how we don't create better dogs and we ensure problems. One of the things that they are discussing in this book in the beginning is, you know, breeding for looks or breeding for temperament and for workability, and how when we breed for looks, we tend to keep bad genetic traits like snapping at kids or not being clean, for example, clean dogs. Interesting. Interesting. So the dog, if you guys remember, and I got rid of the dog for multiple reasons, even though the dog cost $4,500, right? I bought a dog from Maximo for $4,500. Cleanliness, interesting. That dog would come in and shit in its cage as a puppy, would shit directly on its bed usually. Would also not venture out very far away from the back door. So whenever you went outside, you know, you had to watch it because there's landmines all over. So that was an example of a non-cleanly dog. In comparison to, say, Trudy, which is a puppy off of Luca and Gertie. The most cleanliest dog I've ever owned in my life. That dog never crapped in the house one time. Never. Not in its cage, not anywhere. Very rarely peed in its cage even, let alone in the house. There was nothing to the housebreaking with that dog because of its personality and its cleanliness. Okay? So that's the genetics of personality. A lot of people think that genetics just has to do with looks and health and things like that, but it has to also do with personality. So I gave that dog back and got a refund on that dog because it wasn't suitable for my breeding program because of that, the cleanliness thing. But what was a real deal breaker with that dog was that it would growl excessively at both me and my wife and had a little bit level of cowardice that or nerves. You know, wasn't holding up under loud gunfire and things like that. And so for those reasons, I got rid of the dog. And I didn't breed it. Big pain in the ass. I spent 6 months with the dog. Bought it when it was 8 weeks old. Trained the dog. Did, you know, spent all that money on it. I got my refund for the dog, for sure. But there was a lot of investment in the dog. And the reason I did that was because of temperament, which is the primary thing that I have going on here. And it wasn't cutting the mustard. And I don't see a lot of, he's talking about the problems today with breeders that is breed anyway. So this stuff is really important. So what we're dealing with here in this particular case with this individual, he owns another Corso and has a YouTube channel. Older Corso at this point. And that dog has temperament problems. We've spoke on the phone. He's done some YouTube videos. You know, this is an example of the dishonesty on YouTube. People show you what they want you to see, and then, you know, it's turns out to be kind of fraudulent in a lot of ways. But anyway, so this dog is aggressive towards him and his girlfriend and other people. I wouldn't breed that dog. That would be a dog because that's a real big thing for me. And I understand that it's genetic. This is the other thing, that we have this myth today, like dogs are like pieces of software or something like that, and you just program what you want into them, and it doesn't work like that. They come up with a set of pre-givens. So that's part of that dog's personality. Now, you can deal with it, you can mask it, you can manage it, but you're not going to change the disposition of that dog, right? That is still there, and if you let up on your management of that, it'll rear its ugly head and rear its ugly head in other ways. Now, for dogs of this breed, this caliber, that are for guard work, this is real important shit, to not have your dog growl at you. So there's one dog. Now let's take the dog that I gave away. I gave this is off of Luna and Luca's, or Luna's first litter, which is off of King Otis, Maximo's King Otis, and my dog Luna. That produced many good dogs, including Luca Brasi, my dog here, and James has my second choice was Nunzio. Great dogs. And there's been other people send emails and photos of dogs from that litter, really good dogs. This dog, Mrs. B, it was, out of all the dogs that I've had the worst nerves of any dog that I've owned. And again, this is, you could deal with it. You can mask it. You could try to work with it, right? To get it to overcome. Blah, blah, blah. I understand all that, but we're talking about genetics here. Okay, so for that reason, I didn't even sell the dog. I gave the dog away for free to a good home. It was supposed to go to his girlfriend for a pet. So now he's bred that dog with Uso, the dog. So here's what you're doing, and this is the problem and why it's a serious problem. And I don't mean to be bitching about things, but I got something to say about it because the dog came off of my yard. So what you're doing here is you're taking one dog. Oh, and the other dog, Uso, has one illegal bite under his belt that I'm aware of. Okay, this dog has bitten an innocent person. So there's that dog. Growls at its owner. As much as the owner is praised for obedience training, doesn't seem to be an off switch on this dog, and this dog bit an innocent person. Off switch is big over here. The other thing is, I went and I seen it. He was purporting Mrs. B as a guard dog. Oh my God. Anyway, so you have that, and that's genetic stuff now, okay? So you're going to take that dog with the aggression towards owner's issues, and you're going to breed it with a dog that has nerve issues and excessive fear issues. I can't tell you what a bad cocktail that is in the real world, regardless of what it looks like on YouTube and any of that bullshit. That isn't, you know, for me here, we're not going to run like that. That's just so wrong on so many levels. You know, let alone, are there hip x-rays anywhere that I can look at? But that's a minor thing in this particular situation. The problem here is you're breeding dogs of bad temperament. And it's interesting that I'm reading, you know, why you don't do that in this book, which is a great book. As a matter of fact, I'll probably do some podcasts and a little bit of a series on this, kind of summarizing some of the chapters over on the members area. I'm going to put this on the free end for people here on Marino Cane Corso. There's a membership fee of $59. It's for lifetime membership that gets you access to my complete How to Raise a Puppy for Personal Protection and Guard Work, as well as a lot of other videos pertaining to, and audios pertaining to obedience, rock solid obedience, as well as my Dogman's Medicine Cabinet, How to Take Care of Your Dog and Save Thousands of Dollars in Vet Bills, and just all kinds of other information having to do with Everything having to do with when owning dogs, and in particular guard dogs, not sport dogs, not police dogs, not even really personal protection dogs as we normally think of them in today's social media climate. But the dog's mind and why this is important, and you know, there's breeding for looks, which most people do, and then they end up maintaining these bad personality traits in the dog, and you start passing those things on. So for me here, what I have going on with these dogs, they have to be good guard dogs, and they have to have good nerves. And what's also interesting in this book, and we'll get to it, I was kind of reading ahead in some of the other chapters, you know, talking about the phases of development of the puppies. And we've talked a lot about this, and if you guys have watched over the periods of years and me do my litters, it's interesting, a lot of the testing that I do and a lot of the things I do with my little puppies is actually spoken of in this book for, you know, learning about the dog's potentials from a very, very early age, and what their propensities and what their liabilities may be. So my calling process is nerves, and a little bit of fear is understandable in some dogs, but that dog had absolutely no nerves whatsoever. And so I will not breed a dog like that, even though, you know, it's more profitable just to keep the dogs and just to breed them. Oh, I guess it's real profitable to go get a dog for free from somebody. Under the understanding, or at least I thought there was an understanding, that it was a pet for his girlfriend, and then you end up breeding the dog. But that's why you see, because what'll happen is there'll be bad temperament dogs in that litter, and somebody will purchase that dog. And it'll end up for, you know, biting kids or, you know, who knows what, over the food bowl and shit, for temperament issues, or they'll want a guard dog, and you're increasing the chances of having dogs that are a little bit too fearful. I mean, not that you can't work with fear in a dog. I mean, a lot of it is fear-based that we're talking about, but, you know, having a little, like Trudy has that healthy kind of fear, but she has nerve. She's got really good, solid nerve. And there's a difference between those things. I should probably do some podcasts. I'm starting to ramble here. But it's just interesting to be reading this book, The Dog's Mind, while this came to my attention, of this breeding that... So I guess what I'll have to do, someone was asking why I don't spay or neuter the dogs. It's actually not healthy for them, especially in their developmental. We can do a whole different thing on that as well. But I guess if I'm going to give a dog away ever again, I'm going to have to spay or neuter it, because you just can't trust people. As far as I'm concerned, that's not a good breeding. That dog was not meant for being bred. There's no reason to breed the dog. There's just not. It's not a good representative of what they're supposed to be. But that's where we're at in the world. And so that's this episode of the Dogman Underground Podcast, MerinoConeCorso.com, and which is now the home of the Merino Band Dog, trying to make some really good family guard dogs. All right, everybody, have a great day.